How many of you have ever seen that movie, Alive? It was based on this plane crash in I guess it was the Himalayas. I don't really know. It was in the icy mountains. And the plane, I think, actually broke apart. And there was a lot of things that happened in that movie. But I remember when the plane broke apart, there was this guy, this person, I don't remember if it was a man or a woman, but sitting in this chair, and it was shaking like this. And then the chair broke out and just went flying out into, you know, the open like that. And I thought, what terror had to be in that person's mind? And you would have thought, that image stuck with me as probably the worst thing. And that really kind of scared me to watch that, because that's something that actually happened, that actually could happen, right? And so when I saw that, I thought, gosh, that had to have been the worst. But it really wasn't the worst. You know, it was the worst for the survivors. The people that had to endure day after day, month after month, however long they were up there. And so anybody that's ever seen this movie, when you say, I did what I had to do, these people did what they had to do. There's no doubt about that. Because they came to the end of their food, they came to the end, and they had people that, survivors, I guess, that had died, or people that had recently died. They were, I guess, packed in ice or in the snow, and they went and they ate them because they were that hungry. And these were people that they knew. These were people that they knew. These were people that somebody knew on that plane that they may have saw walking around that, you know, they said, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. Like, yeah, go ahead, you know. And then the next thing you know, they're cutting off a piece of their flesh and they're eating it. No. Oh, I mentioned going to the bathroom. And there's Jared. We was talking about the plane crash, Alive, right? In that movie, when you say, I do what I need to do, or I got to do what I got to do, those people really did that. And it's a pretty tough place to come to the fact that if you got so hungry, and if I was dead, that you would cut off a piece of my flesh and eat it. That's what they did. And so that was what they had to do to survive, hopefully. And they weren't even promised that they were going to get found. They didn't even know if they were going to get found. We have a promise as a Christian. These people were just trying to survive. But people who are trying to live out this life, and when they're approached with situations, their answer is, I did what I had to do, right? Whether if it was a good response, whether if it was a bad response, a good action, a bad action, it come down to a personal choice that they made, and they said, look, I did what I had to do, right? I did what I had to do. And based on this, this truly happens. People do what they have to do. But I want to show you pictures that God gave us of people who did what they had to do. Because God does not make you do anything. God has given you the choice. He simply has made sure you understand that you're going to answer for that choice. But He doesn't make you do anything. 1 Peter 3:20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, that were saved through water. Here was a man that was told by God to build a boat. I mean, it transcends what a boat was. This was an ark, and y'all saw the magnitude of the size of the ark, and it was huge. You know, could you imagine being told by God to do something that crazy? People watched this man. You see, Noah, how much time and dedication did it take to build the ark? I wake up in the morning and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how I can do this again today. You know? But I get up and I know from experience, and once I get moving around a little bit, it's a little better than it was than when I first wake up. But mostly it still stinks, you know, have to go to work and do the things, but this is my choice. I don't have to work there. It's not a prison, right? But Noah got up day after day, and look at the ridicule, look at how he looked, and look at the dedication that it took for his belief to do this, to build that ark. And how much time did it take? You go to Genesis 6:3. God said, "My spirit will not reside with man more than 120 years. He said that the wickedness of this world had gotten so bad. And you know what the wickedness was? It wasn't murder and cannibalism like we were just talking about. It was a total disregard for anything that God wanted. That's it. They just wanted to live their life. And God saw that as evil because He was left out of the picture. They were His creations. And you can go to Scripture that says that in the days of Noah, they were marrying, giving in marriage, they were plowing fields, they were doing all the stuff. It was just normal life. It wasn't some grand Armageddon that people had like you saw in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the fact that they just wanted to live their life. They wanted God to leave them alone. And so God saw all this and He gave Noah 120 years. So how much dedication did it take for Noah to do what he had to do? So when someone says to you, you know, "I did what I had to do," do you think Noah thought that way? You think of the terms that we use it, that we did what we had to do. But in the terms that Noah did it, he said, "I did what I had to do." Why did you do all this, Noah? Why are you wasting your time? He says, I got to do what I got to do. You think your God is going to make it rain and kill us all? We haven't done anything wrong. You think that you're something special and that you're going to be saved? But see, when the flood came, they realized that the sacrifice, determination, and the dedication that it took for Noah to build this ark, they realized that he was in the right. That he did what he had to do and it was worth it. Anybody on the outside of that ark as the water started to rise. Because see, it started raining. Did it rain and then he went into the ark, or he went into the ark and shut it up and then it started to rain? I can't remember which one it was. But it was simultaneous that it happened. And so you know that these people thought, man, did they really come to the understanding what? Yeah, I'm not sure. Scripture says what it was. But either way, I'm just saying that these people, when they did what they had to do, which was go about their daily lives and not worry about Noah, not worry about the prophecy, not worry about the preaching, not worry about the evangelism, the visual thing that was going on with the ark sitting there. Did they really do what they had to do? How much? What did that benefit them at that time? Now, while it was going on, man, it's like, you know, I got to do what I got to do, Noah, and I'm not helping you with this boat. This is ignorant. Noah was 600 years old. You see that in Genesis 7:6 when the flood waters came. He had a life prior to building the ark, but he did what he had to do. He had a life. Do you understand that? He had things that he did. He was 600 years old. And so with 120 that the ark, it took him to build the ark, it was 480. This dude was 480 years old. Now let's just drop the zero so we can halfway understand that. He was 48. He was around 50 years old. He had a life, and then all of a sudden, God wanted him to build the ark. And I'm here to tell you that he never would have built that ark if he had not had a relationship with the Lord. He never would have built that ark and trusted God if his life that he had prior to the ark was not a relationship with the God that he served. So the fact that he had a life did not change when God asked him to do something. It was part of his service to God. But it was dedication, and it was faith, it was belief, and he did what he had to do. Daniel 6:10. It's we talked about this morning in the study. So now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and what the writing was is that no one, paraphrasing a little bit, no one will worship any other god except the king for 30 days. I think it was 30 days. It might have been 60. I think it was 30 days. And the reason this was done is because there was people that wanted, that they knew that Daniel was not going to not pray to his God. They knew that he was going to serve his God. And so there were people that were trying to get him caught and get him killed and taken out of the king's ear so that they could control the kingdom. I think it was the satraps, or I don't know how to really pronounce it, but that was the faction that was trying to get control. Anyway, so when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so this was what they're telling you is he understood that he was told not to do this. Do you understand that? He was told that you cannot do this. The government said, do not do this or else. Now, I want us to understand something. Prior to Daniel doing this, he said, long live the king. May you live forever. And all the dictates and things that the king wanted to do, we don't see Daniel harassing him. But when Daniel was asked to do something when it came to worship of his God, he wasn't going to back up. Do we see that? I mean, you can go back and you can read. It said that he made the statement, long live the king. May the king live forever. God bless the king. You know, God save the queen, you know. But when it came down to him having to do something that went against worship, that was where he had to draw the line. So when he knew that the writing was signed, this was not a surprise to him. Nobody can say that Daniel didn't know. He couldn't say. He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And it's important that Scripture put this here, as was his custom since early days. And as we were talking this morning, I would have think that when we said, you know, God, I did what I had to do. I shut that window. I did what I had to do. See, you understand how now what we have to do when we say we did what we had to do versus when we do what we had to do in service to God? I think with everything that is in me, I think that I would have shut that window. Because I don't know if I would have seen how important it would have been to leave that window open. I don't know. Maybe I would have. I don't know. I'm just trying to be honest. I mean, that's where we have to be with God. And there's no point in me not being honest with y'all, because we're trying to grow and understand and realize that there's strengths that you have that I don't have. But there's strengths that I have that you don't have. But anyway, that's why we're together as a collective body, so we can come together and edify the church. But here was Daniel, as was his custom since early days. He wasn't going to change it. I could have said, God, I had to shut the window. I did what I had to do. If I didn't shut the window, then, you know, they would have killed me. And then what good would that have been? I couldn't have witnessed to anybody. I couldn't have talked to anybody. I couldn't have served you anymore. Boy, there's a lot of good answers for that one, isn't it? I did what I had to do. All Daniel had to do was shut that window. But he did what he had to do. He had to keep that window open. And there's a lot of people that probably thought, dude, why didn't you just shut that window? And he said, I did what I had to do. I've always served God in the open as a witness. I wanted everybody to see how wonderful the God of Israel was. And I couldn't shut the windows out of fear of them. I love my God. I did what I had to do. Now, last week I had two slides, and I thought that I would get done pretty fast, right? I went over longer probably. So I only got two slides this time. So I was trying to make up for last week that I really kept y'all here. Because anyway, I kind of felt bad about this. But it doesn't diminish the message. Yeah, thank you. Isaiah 53:12. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You ever thought about, I mean, actually excuse me, Jesus as the man coming to the understanding that this is it, right? I'm going to die. This is it. I'm going to die. He struggled, and his cross was actually before the cross. I'm here to tell you, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed to the Father, if there was another way, but let your will be done. That was his cross right there. Because he truly could have walked away because they hadn't come. Judas hadn't given the kiss. They hadn't taken him away yet. That was his cross. Once he made that decision that he was going to go through with this, that was his cross. Jesus had done what he had to do. He let them take him. I can't fathom that. Because everything within me would be about survival. Would be about survival. But he let them take him. He did what he had to do. Because Jesus stood condemned to die. Look what Isaiah said. This was a prophecy of their Redeemer. He poured out his soul unto death. And they didn't even look at him as a righteous man. They looked at him as a sinner, as a no good, same as all anybody else person, someone who actually deserved to die because he counted himself as God. He said that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And a lot of people looked at this man and thought, you deserve to die. You deserve to die. How can you do that? How can you die for someone that looks at you that way? How can you be kind to someone that looks at you that way? How can you do this? He wanted to show. Part of this was him showing the true mercy of God. That you don't deserve this. Now, I don't deserve this. But it's going to be offered to you because God is willing at all costs to give you a chance. At all costs to give you a chance. Was there no way to stop the cross? Come on, man. Was there any way that he could have stopped this? Yeah, there was. I'm here to tell you. We think about the ones where he left aside and he went into the garden to pray and he come back to them and he says, you've fallen asleep. Can't you for 1 hour just watch and pray with me? Do you know what happens when they fell asleep? You know what he could have done? Could have snuck off. And then they would have looked up and they would have said, where is he at? Did the soldiers take him? They wouldn't even know what happened to him. He could have left. The people that were there with him were falling asleep. He had every opportunity. And you don't think that dude looked around and thought, I got to do what I got to do. I got to get out of here. Of course he did. But he said, not what I want to do, but your will be done. That was his cross, man. Once he had made that commitment, going to that cross was just a formality. And I don't want to diminish the fact that he was nailed to the cross, but what I'm trying to say is that he had committed himself to that walk. And so when he did what he had to do, do we see that he could have walked out? And when God said, I thought we had this work, man, I had to do what I had to do. Don't you understand? They were going to kill me. They were going to nail me to a cross. I did what I had to do. Anybody would have said, any one of us would have said, understand, self-preservation, self-survival. That's not what Jesus did. But Jesus did what he had to do, and that was serve his God at all cost. Peter, Paul, John, Christians, we do what we have to do, don't we? Or do we? Where are we at with this? What is the devil going to put in your way that's going to keep you from worship? What's he going to do? It's out there, man. And it'll sneak up on you. You won't even realize, how could I even think this way? But it's there. And when it comes down to we got to do what we got to do, what does that mean to us? And I think what that means to us is reasonably is that given the circumstances, anyone would understand why we back down. Right? Anybody would understand why we would back down. But is that the examples that we've seen in Scripture? This is a learned behavior. This is growth. This is called maturity. Peter said, I will die for you, Lord. But when he came down to it, he walked away. But when he was given the chance, when he got to see, which Peter do you want to be? The Peter that served God or the Peter that walked away? And we could say in that instant that, well, this was before he had the Holy Spirit. And true, I can see that. Right? That has a lot to do with it. But even after Peter had the Holy Spirit and he was sitting and eating with the Gentiles and then the Jews showed up, he walked away from them. He split the church wide open. Because you don't think those Gentiles looked and said, what's going on here, man? What? Shh, Peter. You don't care about nobody but them Jews. So he had the Holy Spirit then and he made the choice. Did what he had to do. Those Jews showed up and he couldn't be seen eating pig with the Gentiles. Then the Jews wouldn't have nothing to do with him. When we say we did what we had to do, I want us to understand that it's us that make that determination. Circumstances do not make that determination. We have to make that choice. We can't let the circumstances make that choice. Because we live in a world right now where our faith is challenged. Our faith is truly challenged. The governments don't stand behind the idea of Christianity. It's all religions. Our school systems don't even allow prayer in schools any longer. They don't allow allegiance of any kind in the schools any longer. They want you to decide. We allowed this. We allowed this because we became silent. And now, our children are going to pay the price for that. We can't change a whole lot of things at where we're at, but we have to understand that when we do what we have to do, who are we doing it for? Who are we doing it for? 1 Peter 1:17, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges, do we understand what without partiality means? He doesn't care whether if you make the right decision or the wrong decision. If you make the right decision, you're not better in His eyes than the one that makes the wrong decision and repents of it. Just because that you are a better person than me does not mean that God loves you more than He loves me. Remember what He said, the least of my brethren, if you do unto them, you have done unto me. And if you want to be the greatest of all, then you are the servant of all. Remember these words that He said to us. Partiality, there's no partiality with God. He has laid out His terms of the covenant that we entered into and He expects you to keep them. Because a covenant, as we talked about this morning, is two parties have to bring their part together. God says, I will be here, will you? Basically, He just said, are you going to show up? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to talk to me? Are you going to build a relationship with me? Because I am willing. You ever had a brother or a sister or father or mother or cousin or somebody that you broke covenant with? I mean, you broke family with because of something they did that was terrible. And then after time, it just started to eat away with you. And you've come to the place to realize they were as miserable as you were. And you were so happy that you could come back together. That's where God is. He wants us back into that right relationship with Him. That's what He wants. But we have to fulfill our end of the bargain. Because He is not going to be partial. He's not going to look at your circumstances. He's not going to see how great you've been your entire life. He's not going to look at all the service that you have given Him. He's going to look at the end result. Did you remain faithful? Because Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. Look at all the things that He did. But when it came down to it, were you going to submit to the will of the Father, or you were going to go about your own business? And Jesus did what He had to do. It was His choice. His choice. So, I've explained partiality the best I can, but if you call on the Father, He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to Jews here. I mean, Peter, Paul was, a lot of his writings were to the Gentile, and Peter, you know, he used a lot of scripture, Old Testament scripture to prove Jesus. So he's talking to the Jews as well as Christians. But he says, if you call on the Father. So he's talking to either one. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges, and I'm talking about Jewish Christians here. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. We fear the things that would happen to us if we stood up for our faith to God. That's where I'm at. I fear the repercussions of not having the life that I have now, or not having the retirement that I'm looking forward to, or just all these things. And God says, understand that there's no partiality if you call upon me. And if you're willing to make your choices, do it so in fear. Not fear out of vengeance, but fear that we would let Him down. Fear that we would break that covenant. Fear that we would be able to be the person that could walk away. Do you understand that? Jesus could have walked away. Why didn't He? Because He did what He had to do. From my experience, when we say we did what we had to do, what we're saying is that God will understand our circumstances, or He'll understand our heart. And that's a big one here, because the heart wants things that aren't logical. The heart wants things that aren't practical. The heart wants things that they should not have. And so Scripture tells us that we should not trust our heart. It is wicked. Why? Because it simply runs off of emotions. So that means that one day you might feel good, one day you might feel bad. One day you're going to stick to your diet, one day you're not. One day you're going to be nice to somebody and give them a chance, and then one day you're going to sit there and watch them struggle, and you're going to get a little bit of joy out of it because of who they were. Emotions. Sometimes I wish I could cut them out with a knife and just watch them burn. They plague me because I'm a more emotional person. I see with my heart. I feel with my heart. I don't think with my mind all the time. Do you understand? That's a problem for me. That's a difficult thing for me. And so when God says, I mean, when we say we did what we had to do, it's our circumstances or our heart. And we think that God's going to understand this. Scripture's already said that without partiality, He's not going to cut you a break. He's going to require you to stay faithful to that covenant. That's what He's going to require of you. He's not asked you to be sinless. He's provided us with repentance. He's asked you to stay faithful to the covenant that you entered into willingly. Because who here was forced to come this morning? Who here was forced to get into that baptistry? Who here was forced to serve God? This is a covenant that we have entered into willingly. And all He's asked is that you honor that covenant. What we really wanted to do, but we opted out for the easier way. So when we say, you know, I did what I had to do. I worked all day. I was so tired when I come home. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. So I said no. I didn't answer the phone. I lied. You know, I had to have some time to relax. Because I'm here to tell you, this is one thing about me is that when I feel tired, when I feel mad, when I want that satisfaction. I do. And so that's a real struggle for me to do what I have to do, because what I have to do is to satisfy myself. I have to find a way to give myself a release, some comfort, because I always feel like that you know, I've worked the majority of the day, I've put in the time, I may not live to see tomorrow, so I'd like to sit down and relax for 5 minutes, if that's okay with you. Do you understand? You make a little bit of money, you spend most of it, but you save just a little. Just a little. Don't try to save it all, because you got to live, but save a little. And that's the way that I've lived. So when it comes down to doing what I have to do, if it's going to interfere with those few minutes that I believe that I should have at the end of the day because I've did everything that I had to do, that's a problem for me, because a lot of times I'll cave in. It's just not easy for me. It's not. And that's the honest truth. So when I tell God I did what I had to do, then I have to understand, and He understands. He's like, okay, that's fine. But it was your choice. This is what you chose. And which of the examples that we looked at from Scripture did anyone do what was easy? Did Daniel do what was easy? He got thrown into a lion's den. Come on, people. The windows open, windows closed. What difference did it make? Didn't make a difference to me. I probably would have shut the windows. But he kept the windows open, and they put him in with lions. Real lions. He was there, and the lions was there. And you would have thought, I mean, could you imagine the terror that would have been that one of those beasts was walking towards you? Paws as big as your head. The Bible says that God shut their mouth. And so they could pace around Him all that they wanted, but God said, you will not touch him. And you know what? They didn't. Makes no sense, does it? Makes no sense. But Daniel did what he had to do, and God honored the covenant that Daniel was in. It wasn't about life or death. This was about a witness. Daniel came out of that lion's den, and you know what happened? The king said, praise be the God of Daniel. Praise be the God of Daniel. He rushed to him, and he didn't say, Daniel, are you alive? The next day, he rushed and had that stone rolled away, and he said, Daniel, are you alive? That's not what he said. You know what he said? Daniel, has your God delivered you from these lions? When we do what we have to do in the face of this world to serve our God, that is how we win souls. Because people see that we are serious about our walk. People see that we serve a real God. My last scripture, Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves. This was way back in the time that Joshua conquered Cana. And the land was going to be distributed as a equal portion to the tribes of Israel. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. He said, God has delivered His end, because we can go to, it was 24, 34, 26, 34, somewhere in those couple chapters, and we read it not too long ago, is that it said, and so, when Joshua conquered the land of Canaan, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he said, God fulfilled the promise that He made to Abraham. He said it in Scripture, not by me, but by Scripture. He said, all the land that was promised to the children of Israel, God delivered on the day that Joshua conquered Canaan. So here was Joshua. He says, look, the Lord has delivered His promise. Now it is up to you to do what you must do. He said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, I was talking about the gods in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in the lands that, you know, they'd pushed out, because they'd seen a lot of gods that they had pushed out. And these were people who worshiped. These were people who grew up and do nothing more than serving gods. The gods of Egypt, the gods of the desert, the god of Abraham, all these gods. And so I guess some gods had things that would appeal to your senses, appeal to what you thought was an easier way or a better way or a more pleasurable way. But he tells them, either the gods on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua told them, he says, God has delivered you. And I can't stand here any other way to say that God has not delivered us. Hasn't He? He's delivered us from the bondage of sin. We are freed by the blood of Christ. And so the same thing, just like Joshua was told, the same thing today the church is being told, God has delivered you. He has fulfilled your promise. Now you serve today. Now you choose today whom you will serve. Whether another God or the true God. Will you serve the God that has delivered your soul? We do what we want to do. That's what we're saying. When we say we do what we got to do, well, man, I did what I had to do. No. Let's be honest. What we're saying is we did what we want to do. I know that my daughter is supposed to do the dishes. And this is a fight me and my wife have because she gets to come and go sometimes and seems like that I might get fussed at and she doesn't. Right? And so I know that when I rinse my bowl out before I'm going to bed and that dishwasher's full, I know that if I put that dish in that sink, who's going to get fussed at? It's not going to be Lauren when she wakes up the next morning, right? It's not going to be her when she comes home at night. It's going to be me. But I did what I wanted to do. Because that's what she does in this house, not me. And if you want to do it, you go right ahead, but I'm not. And I take a beating for it every time. We do what we want to do. Sometimes we don't understand the consequences. Sometimes. And this has been a difficult 2 years with people not understanding, you know, what's happening in the world, what's safe, what's not safe. I can't even begin to understand the fears, because I've had mine and I've had my questions. I can't even begin to understand all the things that people have gone through for the past 2 years. It has really challenged who they are, and it's really put them to the test. But I want you to understand that God tests us all. It's life. God tests us all. And so today, because that's what Joshua said, today, you decide who you're going to serve. Other gods? Fear or Him? And I'm here to tell you that the same choices that you have to make, I have to make also. I have to go against something I may believe that's a personal belief. I'm not talking about Scripture. I'm talking about who I am as a person. But I want to do what He wants me to do. I don't want to do what I want to do. So when I say I did what I had to do, I did what I had to do for Him, not myself. We all have to make that decision. Jesus made that decision. Daniel made that decision. Noah made that decision. Abraham made that decision. Who has not had to make that decision? Why would you think that you get to get by with this? This is not God punishing you. These are choices in life. Who created foreign gods? The minds of the people who wanted an easier life. The minds of the people who wanted to control others. And God said, you decide who you're going to serve. We have evidence in Scripture with which to base our faith. So are we going to do that? You know, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you know that all of those Jews that were there were sitting under at one time the people, the leadership of the Jews, the Sanhedrin or whatever, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that sat in this group that made the law, that interpreted the law and everything. And all of these people one time sat under him who said, do not teach in this man's name. And Peter stood up in front of those people and said, in his name you seek repentance. You seek salvation in his name. That angered those people who had gone at great lengths to kill Jesus, who was going to go at great lengths to kill those apostles who said those words. And they did. Peter, who said those words, he was killed because he said those words. Because he did what he had to do, and that was to preach the first gospel sermon to show us the way of salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. And he told you that that was a promise, not just to those people, not just to the children, but as many who were called as were far off. And that was the Gentile world. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?